Let us quieten our hearts before the Lord. Bow our heads, close our eyes, and give this hour unto the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, in the name of your resurrected Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come this morning asking that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would continue to do the work that you have started here in these young people, Father. Father, I see these young hearts, these young minds, Father, ready to receive your word, ready to receive your engrafted word with meekness and fear. And I thank you, Father, for that. Father, I ask that you would stand beside me in this pulpit today to share your truth, to share your word, to share your heart, to share your principles, to be able to communicate unto these young people something that is so important in their lives. We give this time to you, Father. We ask that you would use it for your honor and for your glory in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. My name is Patrick Waldner. I am a product of the grace of God. Amen. As are you. Hallelujah. I'm from Manitoba, as most of you know. I know many of you have heard of what the Lord is doing in Manitoba, of how He has built His church there over the last 5 years, and of the good things that He is doing. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited that we have over 40 young people here from Manitoba. Glory. It's our biggest group, I believe, that we've had since 01, when the revival first came. I have been part of the revival up in Manitoba, of the work that God has been doing right from the start. I have found myself drawn by the Holy Spirit into the work there. And I just pray that the Lord will be able to use me here this morning also, as He has up there. I've really enjoyed listening to Brother Dean giving you the practical aspects of Christianity this week. And we are going to, again today, be looking at a very practical aspect of Christianity. We are going to be looking mostly at the mind. And I just appreciate a lot of the thoughts that Brother Ross has also brought out. I just find myself sitting there and saying, amen, amen, brother. Preach the word. Many of the thoughts and points that they've been pounding on, have been expounding on, have been very much in my life for the last little while as I've been contemplating these messages. We are going to be considering the area of entertainment today. That is a very practical subject in our world today. It is something that's been pressing into the church. It's something that's pressing into our lives. It's something that the devil wants to distract us with in our Christian lives. And I do realize that the subject of entertainment is a vast and a broad subject. I can by no means do it justice in a couple of sessions. So I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to narrow it down into the area of visual entertainment. And the topic of the message this morning is the destructive influence of visual entertainment. How destructive visual entertainment is for the Christian and for the human mind. The key text that I'll be using in these two sessions is Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says here, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, what I'll be talking about a lot is, then be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll be getting into expounding those verses a little later on. But as we look at the subject of entertainment, there's so many facets of it. There is, Brother Dean talked yesterday about music, oral entertainment, or that area of entertainment, concerning music. There's many, many others. Many subtopics here that we could address. We could be talking about amusement parks, video arcades, theme parks, fairs, theaters, movie theaters, drama theaters, dinner theaters, gambling establishments, casinos, the lottery. There's so many facets of entertainment that we could be focusing in on. And something that's also become a problem in the church is the whole area of sports. The whole sports world with its human idols. Its empty promises of fame and fortune that leaves its stars with wrecked and broken bodies and aching joints. Many of those men do not live past 60 because that they've given themselves to such an extent to the god of this world. And it has consumed them and has destroyed their bodies. So this is a many-headed monster that we're considering here this morning. The area of entertainment. We'll be focusing in on visual entertainment. We'll be talking a little about the internet and, of course, television. Internet is one of the most challenging ones that has come down the pike in recent years. It's hard for us to know exactly what to do with it. It needs to be governed. It needs to be one of those things that we treat with great respect or great fear, or to hold it in a way where it does not harm us, because it has the great potential to do that. And we'll be getting into that a little later on. Now, I know my audience is going to be a little narrow this morning, because most of you come from conservative homes or Christian homes where this medium of visual entertainment is not used or is not greatly used. And I praise God for that. And I praise God that that's true. But just because this particular area doesn't apply to you, if you think it doesn't apply to you, there is a reason that you should be listening to this message. Some of you, like myself, have in your younger years maybe given yourself over and have let yourself be influenced by visual entertainment to a great extent, like I did. Some of you that are here this morning, this week, have been flirting with it, have been playing with it, have been exposing yourself to it, thinking that you can handle it. And some of you that are here this morning are consecrated. You're sold out to the Lord Jesus. And God has a calling upon your life. He's calling you into the ministry. And you will be, if you are going to reach out and touch a hurt and a dying world that's been devastated by this, you are going to run into people that are going to need wise counsel, that are going to need to be led through this devastation that this has wrought upon their lives. So there is all those aspects to consider, that those of you that have been given over to it in your younger years, those of you that are considering playing with it or are playing with it or are letting yourself being influenced by it, and those of you that are going to be ministering to people that have been affected by it. And I'll be giving you principles that can be applied across the board in the whole entertainment and worldliness and nonconformity subjects. I'd like to do a little survey this morning. I'd like to know who I'm speaking to. I'd like all of you to rise to your feet. Could you do that for me, please? And this is just for my information. This is not for your information. This is not for you to be watching your neighbor. This is just for my information. Any of you that have allowed yourself to be influenced by even one, any of you that have not allowed yourself to be influenced by even 1 hour of visual entertainment, that means documentaries, movies, television, sitcoms, whatever have you. Any of you that have not allowed yourself to be influenced even 1 hour by those things, you can sit down. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you that have not allowed yourself to be influenced by that for 10 hours, you may sit down. If you judge that you've not even given yourself over to 10 hours of this defiling thing, you may sit down. Okay. Remember that the average North American child growing up in a secular home views 40,000 hours of visual entertainment by the time he's 17. Keep that in mind. Those of you that have not allowed yourself to be influenced by 100 hours of visual entertainment may sit down. And those of you that have not allowed yourself to be influenced by 500 hours of visual entertainment may sit down. All right, the rest of you may be seated. Did you notice that I was still standing? I did let myself be influenced by this in my younger years. I gave myself over to it in my teenage years. I was saved at the age of 20, and I did not immediately have victory over it either. It was a long process for me. So I have a lot of experience in this area of what it does, of what it wants to do, and of how to overcome it. And Lord willing, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. If the Lord so leads, I will be bringing a message called The Transforming Power of the Living Word tomorrow. Now, how did this come about? How was this influence brought into our world? I'll just give you a little bit of history on television. In the late 1800s, scientists began experimenting with this thing called television. And they began to invent things. And it was not invented or developed until the late 1920s. And had little importance in communication until the late 1940s. From the 1920s to the 1940s of this century, films and radio were the chief forms of entertainment for millions of North Americans. Many people went to the movies at least once a week. They listened to comedies, dramas, and other entertainment programs on the radio at least almost every night. The stage was set. The heart of man had already given itself over to this. But then came the 1950s. During that 10-year period, it became part of most households in North America. And now, 50 years later, we're seeing the effects of what is now the third and the fourth generation being raised by television or by visual entertainment. In 1945, there were 10,000 television sets in the U.S. In 1950, there were 6 million. From 1945 to 1950, in that 5-year period, it grew astronomically. In 1960, there were 60 million. And today, there are over 110 million in homes. Not counting the ones on store shelves, not counting DVD players, not counting any other gizmos, but television sets in homes alone. 110 million idols. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, talks about Satan and how we are to be aware of his tricks and his snares. He says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And this is a device that has been greatly used by the enemy. It has been greatly used by the enemy. I'm reminded in the book of Acts, speaking about the number of these things in our society, I'm reminded in the book of Acts when many that believed and confessed and shewed their deeds and brought them openly before brought them openly to be displayed. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That was a lot of money at that time. Now, if revival ever came to America, the cost would be a lot higher of things that would have to be burned. Now, entertainment is not a new phenomenon. It is not new to this society. It has been around for centuries. It has been around. The heart of man has craved it since the fall, I believe. Ancient societies have all had their forms of entertainment. You know, we have the account there of the children of Israel. Moses going up on the mountain and the children of Israel being left there. And what happened there? They devised a form of entertainment. The Bible warns us to be not as they were, neither be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, we think of the Roman society with their Colosseum, 50,000 seat Colosseum where armed gladiators fought each other and they fought wild animals. And the seats of those Colosseums were filled with screaming fans. thirsting for more blood. Where starving beasts attacked condemned criminals or Christians. They had the Circus Maximus, a 250,000-seat arena, where they held their chariot races, where they built lavish public baths, gymnasiums, gardens, libraries. Theirs was a culture obsessed with entertainment and recreation. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Now, I believe that all ancient societies have had some form of entertainment. I believe that. Because the Bible says that God fashioned our hearts alike. If one society craved it, what would stop the other society from craving it? And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So in history, all societies, I believe, have had their forms of entertainment. So what has changed in our society? Technology. That's the one thing that ancient societies didn't have to deal with. They had it in very primitive forms. But our society is engrossed with technology. Electronic gizmos. You can watch a program beamed down from a satellite on your cell phone. And many other things like that. Watches have television sets built into them. That is the extent that technology has brought this thing where it could be hidden anywhere, where it can be done anywhere, on the bus, riding your vehicle, walking through the stores. You're just bombarded with visual entertainment, trying to stimulate you, trying to draw you, trying to feed you. So the fact that fallen man craves entertainment is no new revelation. It's blatantly obvious. It's blatantly obvious. But the shocking thing is that for someone being raised in the industrialized world by undiscerning parents, there's a very remote chance that that young person is going to ever have any kind of desire for the things of God whatsoever. There's only a very remote possibility because they've been given over by undiscerning parents to this influence. But by the grace of God, some do find their way through and do find God and do desire the things of God. Hallelujah. The problem. I'm going to be giving you a lot of information this morning, so I need you to listen. The problem. Thousands of scientific studies and case studies have shown the powerful influence that the entertainment media has had on young people's cognitive development and behavior. The cognitive, that word means knowing, apprehending by the understanding. Being able to understand. Especially children, teenagers, and young people who represent the biggest audiences. In fact, by the time they are 17 years old, children will have spent at least 40,000 hours watching movies, videos, TV programs, playing video games, and listening to music, and reading popular books and news stories. With only 11,000 hours in school, over three times more, almost four times as many hours spent viewing visual entertainment than in school. 2,000 hours with their parents and only 1,000 hours in church if they regularly attend. And these are conservative figures. This is probably done by a worldly church where they spend 1.5 hours in church on Sunday morning. And those numbers are astounding. That's only about 2,300 hours of media That's about 2,300 hours of media consumption per year for the average child. That's astounding. By the time he or she is 17, the average child would have spent at least 40,000 hours watching television, movies, videos, but only 2,000 hours with his or her parents, which should be the major influence in their lives. And only 1,000 hours in church, if they attend every single week. In other words, the entertainment industry is having a bigger impact on the children of industrialized nations and society than parents and churches. Very interesting to note, the Canadian government has a policy that every immigrant that comes to Canada has the right to have a television. They don't get a Bible, they get a television. That is the fastest way that they have found that they can immerse them into Canadian culture. They get a dictionary, they get some other manuals, and they get a television. That's the fastest way that the government of Canada has found that they can immerse new immigrants coming from all over the world into our country, can be immersed into popular culture. And it's also interesting to note that the world views this as a necessity. They view this as a necessity. Some time ago, we were trying to help a young man in our local church there, and he was in custody. He was under house arrest, and we were initiating a program for him to help him get on his feet and follow after the Lord. And many things happened there, but he wanted out from under our protection, out from under our care, out from under our custody. So it came before the courts. And one of the charges was that we didn't allow him to have television. That was one of the charges that was laid. And that brought sympathy with the judge. That is how much it's influenced the society. A new long-term study released in 2002 proved once again the negative effects of today's popular visual media on children, teenagers, and young adults. Published in the journal Science, the study found that teenagers and young adults who watch more than 1 hour of television, including videos daily, are more likely to commit violent crimes and other forms of aggressive behavior. This study, led by Jeffrey G. Johnson of Columbia University and the New York State Psychiatric Institute, followed children in 707 families. That's a lot of families. That's a big study. In two counties in northern New York State for 17 years, they followed 707 families for 17 years. Adolescents and young adults who watch television for more than 7 hours per week had an increased likelihood of up to 200% of committing an aggressive act in later years. The study found a link between violence and viewing any television, not just violent programming. Did you catch that? Any. Not just violent programming. The evidence has gotten to the point where it's overwhelming, Johnson says. We are truly living in a society that has given itself over to this destructive influence. When you put aside the Word of God, when you put aside the Word of God, and you mock it, and you don't believe it, and you hold it for an unholy thing, and you give yourself over to the rudiments of this world, what this world has to offer, this is what you're going to reap. Listen to this. I know that the 23rd Psalm is a very precious and dear portion of Scripture, and I want to read here it. I want to read this this thing here. It's written in the prose and rhyme of the 23rd Psalm. I just wanted to read it to you to shock you a little bit of what happens when a society puts aside the Word of God and embraces the entertainment of this world. The 23rd channel instead of the 23rd Psalm. And when the word TV is in here, I want you to substitute the word visual entertainment. The TV, we can substitute that word any electronic gizmo or device whereby you can be visually entertained. Is it your computer? Is it your laptop? Is it a DVD player? Is it your cell phone? iPods, whatever you have. Whatever electronic device where you can be visually entertained, this is talking about. The TV is my shepherd. I shall want. It makes me lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the Scriptures. Destroys my soul. This is true. It does that. It leads me on the path of immorality and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yea, I walk through the shadow of my Christian responsibilities. There will be no interruption. For visual entertainment is with me. Its images and sounds, they control me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of worldliness. Anoints my head with humanism. My coveting run it over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of Satan forever. Shocking. Shocking. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's incredibly shocking when you put it into that context. Are the benefits of following the Lord loving His Word, being led by the Holy Spirit, and the destructiveness of visual entertainment. It's incredibly shocking. Now I want to switch gears a little bit and focus on the medium. Why is this medium so destructive? What besides the content is so dangerous? As if the content wasn't damning enough. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:27, "You have heard that it had been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The words of our Lord Jesus Christ stand in direct and total opposition to what visual entertainment and the forces behind it want to do in your life. The forces behind these mediums want to get you to lust. And I so appreciate what Brother Ross had here on the board this morning. To get you to lust, whether it is in the area of sexual lust, food, possessions, materialism, or physical appearance, it is an extremely effective tool for stirring up the base desires of the human being. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2 in our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just want to read some verses here. Remember that the context that I'm reading these verses in is in the context of visual entertainment, starting in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, and the forces behind that entertainment. "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery." That's what this thing wants you to get into your life. "Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls in heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." Skipping down to verse 18. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness." Wantonness means debauchery, sensuality, lewdness, lasciviousness. "Those who work clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty." Have you ever seen the entertainment networks, the entertainment industry promise you liberty? Have you ever seen that? "While they promise you liberty, come, frolic on this beach. Come to this resort. Come, view this, buy this." And all these promises are empty. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption." And that's what they want to make out of you. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Of what you are overcome with, of what you give yourself to, of the same you are brought into bondage. I'd like you to consider those verses today. I'd like you to consider those verses in the light of visual entertainment. Now what about the medium? The actual method of broadcasting. How is this done? It's a very complicated procedure. I'm just going to give you a overview of how this procedure is done. The picture tube transforms the video signals into patterns of light that duplicate a scene in front of the camera. It's a camera here, and those patterns of light are fed back to the screen. On one end of the picture tube is a rectangular and nearly flat. This end forms the screen of the television set. Inside the set, the picture tube tapers to a narrow neck. The neck of the color picture tube holds three electron guns, one each for the colors red, blue, and green. So you have a, just going to quickly sketch this here for you. So you have a screen. This is basically how it looks like. In here, there's three electron guns firing electron beams at the screen. One for each color that's used, blue, green, and red signals. Each electron gun in a color picture tube shoots a separate beam of electrons at the screen. Each beam scans the screen just as the beam in each camera tube scanned its target. So whatever the camera looks at is being fed onto the screen. The synchronization signal, which is part of the video signal, ensures that the picture tube scanning pattern follows exactly the pattern used by the camera. The beams must be in sync with each other in order to produce a picture. The screen of most color televisions is coated with more than 300,000 tiny phosphorus dots. The dots are grouped in triangular arrangements of three dots each, one red, one blue, and one green. These dots glow with their respective colors when struck by an electron beam. A metal plate perforated with thousands of tiny holes lies about 1/2 inch behind the screen. And this metal plate is called a shadow mask. And this shadow mask ensures that the red electron gun hits the red dots, and the green electron gun hits the green dots, and the blue electron gun hits the blue dots on the screen. That's how the image is formed. A person looking directly at the screen sees the entire view all at once, but television cannot send a picture of an entire scene all at once. It can send only one tiny part of the picture after another until it has sent the complete picture. A TV camera divides a picture into several 100,000 parts of a process called scanning. As the camera scans the picture, it creates an electronic signal from each part of the picture. A TV set uses these signals in recreating the picture on its screen. The scanning process puts the picture back together piece by piece. A person watching TV does not realize what this is happening. The process works so quickly that the viewer sees only a complete picture. Did you get that? Color TV uses three primary colors in light, red, blue, and green, to produce full color pictures. The proper mixture of these three colors can produce any color of light. For example, a mixture of red and green light produces yellow light. Equal amounts of red, blue, and green light produce white light. Very interesting. So what are the effects of being exposed to this medium known as visual entertainment? What are the effects of being exposed to this thing? How does it affect our mind? Eric McClellan, researcher at the University of Toronto, states that because of the nature of television, beams of light being fired at the viewer, it doesn't stop at the screen. It goes through the screen and is being fired at the viewer at high and intensive rates of speed. It gives off transmitted light. This is unlike reflected light. Reflected light is being reflected off this wall. If I were to shine a flashlight at you, that would be transmitted light. You are the screen. The brain, the human brain, responds to the medium, not so much the content. Did you get that? Our brains respond to the medium, not so much the content. There is a double curse here. Both the medium and the content are soul-destroying. Experiments conducted by researcher Herbert Krugman. Herbert Krugman was the manager of corporate public opinion research at General Electric for years. And he did many, many studies on this. And some of the things that he found are amazing. Reveal that when a person watches television, brain activity switches from the left to the right hemisphere. So as soon as your eyes become engaged onto that visual image, your brain activity switches from the left, to the right hemisphere of the brain. And this is very important to note. The left hemisphere is the seat of logical thought. The left hemisphere, note this, the left hemisphere of your brain, the left part of your brain, is the seat of logical thought. Here, information is broken down into its component parts and critically analyzed. The ability to discern, the ability to make judgments, the ability to say this is right, this is wrong, this is unholy, this is profane, this is holy. All those abilities is done in the left side of your brain. So when a person has the gift of discernment, the left side of his brain is very active. The right brain, however, the right side of the brain, however, treats incoming data uncritically. It doesn't examine it. It just lets it in. Processing information in holes, leading to an emotional response rather than a logical response. Someone watching The Passion of the Christ will respond emotionally, because that's how that medium works. Will respond emotionally. Look what they're doing to poor Jesus. Look how they're whipping him. Look how they're destroying him. And you respond emotionally. It's not that you've been convicted of your sin by the Word of God, which would work on the left side of your brain more. It's that you've now been made to produce an emotional response by that medium. And therefore, you respond emotionally. And therefore, the conversions that that brings about, there's few and far in between that are real. Many are false conversions. It's been an emotional response. There's no true repentance. There's no Holy Spirit imparted because there has been no true repentance. And therefore, it's an emotional giving your life over to the Lord Jesus, what you perceive the Lord Jesus to be. And therefore, it does not last. It does not work. And it doesn't come out right. The shift from the right, from the left to the right brain activity also causes the release of endorphins, the body's own natural opiates. And I want you to write that word down. O-P-I-A-T-E-S. Opiates. O-P-I-A-T-E-S. Thus, it is possible to become physically addicted to watching visual entertainment. And the release of those endorphins, of those opiates, as soon as your activity switches from the left to the right side of your brain, as soon as that happens, there's twice as much being released as there was before. Thus, it is possible to become physically addicted to watching visual entertainment. A hypothesis born out of numerous studies which have shown that very few people are able to kick the television habit. It's no longer an overstatement to note that youth today that are raised and taught through network entertainment are intellectually dead by their early teens. 40,000 hours of this, what has that done to your life? What has that done to your base desires? What has that done to your mind? An opiate is any medicine that has the quality of inducing sleep or repose. It's basically a narcotic. It's a natural narcotic found in our brains. That which induces rest or inaction. That which quiets uneasiness. Why is the church asleep today? They have allowed themselves to be influenced by visual entertainment. And it's put the discernment that God would want in the church, put that to sleep. And there's an emotional response. And there's a giving in to all that the Word would throw at it. The dumbing down of humanity is represented by another shift which occurs in the brain when we give ourselves to visual entertainment. Activity in the higher brain regions, such as the neocortex, is diminished, while activity in the lower brain regions, such as the limbic system, increases. The latter, the limbic system, commonly referred to as the reptile brain, is associated with the more primal mental functions, such as our reactions. When an animal is cornered, it will either try to run or it will fight. This is where this is stored in our brains. They call it a fight or flight response. It's how we react. The reptile brain is unable to distinguish between reality and the simulated reality of visual entertainment. So the reptile brain, to the reptile brain, if it looks real, it is real. Thus, though we know on an unconscious level it is only a film, on a conscious level we know it's only a film, on an unconscious level we do not. The heart beats faster, for instance, while we watch a suspenseful scene. Similarly, we know the commercial is trying to manipulate us. But on an unconscious level, the commercial nevertheless succeeds in making us buy something, in making us feel inadequate unless we have that thing. That's what it succeeds in doing. The effect is all the more powerful because it is unconscious, operating on the deepest level of human response. The reptile brain makes it impossible for us to survive, makes it possible for us to survive as biological beings. But it also leaves us vulnerable to the manipulations of visual entertainment and their programmers. This is where the manipulators use our own emotions to string us along and control us. And this is something very important for young people, emotions. You are at a time in your life when your emotions are probably going to be at their highest. And now when you give yourself the visual entertainment, those emotions are stirred even more. And you're not able to discern things very clearly because you are now responding with the side of your brain that's more emotional, that takes information and holds and just responds as an emotional thing. So this is very important for young people to be very aware and to not give yourselves to this type of entertainment in your younger years, because it has debilitating, devastating effects on your mind. The distortions and directions that are being moved, we are being moved to, are taking place in the subconscious, often undetected. This is why visual entertainment is so soul-destroying. When someone sits there and views something, and I'm not even talking about content, I'm just talking about the medium. You know, you're being amused. The word muse means to think. That happens on the left side of your brain. The word amuse means not to think. That happens on the right side of your brain. You respond emotionally. You don't respond with critical thought. You don't think things through as you should. The word is anesthetized. The conscience of humanity in the industrialized world is being anesthetized by visual entertainment. You know there's things wrong in your life. You know that you're not right with God, whatever concept you have of God. You know you don't get along with your wife, you don't get along with your boss, and that you come home every evening and you sit there for 2 or 3 hours and anesthetize your conscience so that you can have enough of a desire to go out and face the world the next day. It is a terrible, terrible situation. Television is the quickest and easiest and cheapest way to distract yourself from how you feel or to escape from the world and its problems and difficult situation. It's escapism. It's burying your head in the sand. That's exactly what it is. Some time ago, North America passed a milestone. I call it an unholy milestone. There's now 1.94 children per American family. And there's over 2 televisions per American home. So there's now more televisions per children in American homes. And this is going to be a part of the destruction of this nation, in this world. In 2004, 99% of homes had a TV. Over 80% had 2 or more TVs. More people have TVs than they have telephones. That's amazing. One worker was questioned that works at a television station as she's observed this thing. And she said, it's like a drug. That's why they call it the plug-in drug. It releases these natural opiates that are found in your mind that are very similar to codeine, heroin in their makeup. They're identical to codeine and heroin in their makeup. And those things are released by visual entertainment. It stimulates that. It releases them. And when activity from the left side of the brain switches to the right side, when you start viewing visual entertainment, the rate that those things are released is twice as fast. And that's a neurological anomaly. It's not normal for that to be. One viewer said that it's like a drug. Just watch how people react when it's taken away from them. That's why they call it the plug-in drug. Over in Japan, they had an episode where 700 children had to be rushed to the hospital. Why? Because they had viewed an episode of Pokemon, which is a cartoon. They were rushed to the hospital with convulsions. They were convulsing. They were having seizures. So they had to be rushed to the hospital because they had viewed this episode of Pokemon. In this episode, 10-second spot, there was a 10-second spot in there in which one of the characters was flashing his big red eyes to the sound of an explosive boom. That's all it took. That's how powerful it is. 700 children had to be rushed to the hospital with convulsions. Because one character in a cartoon, in a 10-second time frame, flashed big red eyes to the sound of a boom. That's how powerful it is. Are you starting to see how these things can influence our minds? Although definitions are vague and somewhat misleading, the word addiction usually refers to a psychological or physical dependence on a particular experience that must be repeated in order for a person to be uncomfortable. Usually we think about this in terms of chemical addiction, which occurs when the addict's chemical of choice reorganizes the nervous system so that it requires the presence of the chemical to operate smoothly. Did you get that? The chemical reorganizes the nervous system so that the chemical has to be present for that person to function normally and operate smoothly. Of course, not all addictions are chemical. Any behavior that leads to a pleasurable experience will be repeated. And this is why this thing is also so addictive. Because of the chemical that our body releases when we give ourselves to view visual entertainment. And the response of The response of, it doesn't hurt me. I'm going to take my children. I've heard a Christian man say this. Obviously, he's not part of our circles, but I've heard a Christian man say this. I'm going to take my child to the movies, and then I'm going to sit down with them afterwards and tell them what was wrong with it. What was wrong with what they just viewed. That is a total anti-biblical position. And that's a position that is held by many, many of the nominal Christians in America. I guarantee you, for everything that you pick up in that show that was wrong, that was anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, the devil got 100 in on you. He snuck 100 by you, for everyone that you picked up. You know, what we need to do is, we need to run things by the Philippians 4:8 test. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come across something in your life and you weren't quite sure? With something like this, it's blatantly obvious. It's anti-God, it's anti-Bible, it's anti-Scripture. God wants us to not have any part of it. But some things in your life, you're not quite sure, and you run it past the Philippians 4:8 test. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8. And I'm sure all of you know what I'm talking about. And it says this, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, is it true what you're viewing? Whatsoever things are honest, is there honesty there? Whatsoever things are just, does it promote justice? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's the Philippians 4:8 test. And that will get rid of a lot of the fogginess of something like this, some of these practical areas that we've been speaking on this past week and this time slot. We've been speaking on these practical areas of clothing, music, the doctrine of non-resistance, and entertainment, and many of these practical areas. We can't give you enough laws. We can't give you enough rule books. We can't, 100 preachers preaching 1,000 sermons can't give you enough law to keep you in. Because what does Romans 7 teach? It teaches that the law excites the flesh to transgress. So when there's a law placed there, the flesh will automatically respond and will want to transgress against that law. How many have found that? How many have found that? I've been under the law. I know how it feels. I know how my flesh wanted to react against that and to transgress that law. You need a principle within to control your motives, your desires, and your actions. That is what you need. You need a principle within. You need the Holy Spirit of the living God to write His law, His desires upon your heart so that you will know how to respond when you come across those things in your life, these practical areas of Christianity. If Christianity is not practical, it's nothing. If Christianity is not practical, it's nothing. If you can't take what you believe and apply it to your life practically, what good is it? What good is it? If you can't take what you believe and apply it practically to your life, it has to be able to be applied practically. Christianity is very practical. One of the illustrations that I can think of is concerning good content is the picture of a sewer. In a sewer, we all know what that is. We've all smelled that. We've all stood beside one. And Maybe not here in America, but if you've ever been in a foreign country, there's a good chance you stood beside a running open sewer. Now, in that sewer, there's some good water. Somebody filled the bathtub full of water and let it down, or somebody let the tap on and let good, clean water get into that sewer. But what does it do as soon as it hits that? It gets defiled. It's of the same substance then. And that's exactly how I would categorize good entertainment. The medium is dangerous. There might be some moral values that somebody could learn from, if we could use the word wholesome program. But the medium is addictive. And it draws you. And it draws you. And it draws you. And it draws your flesh. And it draws your mind. Because your mind has now been releasing these endorphins, these opiates, at a rate that is twice the speed of normal. God put those things in our minds to enjoy. When we see something that's beautiful, when my wife smiles at me, there's a release of endorphins in my brain, and that brings pleasure to me. And that is a good purpose that God has intended for those things. But when we give ourselves to these types of things, when we think that we can get away with viewing good, viewing material, and it not have it not affect us, we are wrong. I've seen how addictive it is. Since 2001, I've been videotaping the baptisms in Manitoba. I've been videotaped quite a few of them, and I've let my boys watch them. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I also have an 8-month-old boy, 3 beautiful boys, and I've let my 2 older boys watch those baptisms, and I've addicted them to baptism. They play baptism, you know, they get there on the sofa and they baptize each other, and they're in a sense, they love baptisms. They love it when daddy gets in the water and baptizes someone. And it's through this medium. I have to give that as a warning. This is a good, baptism is a good and a right thing. It's holy. It's a commandment of God. But through that medium, it becomes very addictive. I hope you see what I'm saying here. You know, if you're going to be exposed to these things, to these antichrist philosophies of this present world, to the rudiments of the world, it's not going to come out right in your life. It's just not. Because we hear the excuse, I'm just going to watch the news. I'm just going to watch the news. And what happens in between newscasts? Commercials. Defilement. You can't control what's being flashed on that screen. And you can't control what's happening in your mind as you're watching that. It's something to be seriously considered. It's something to be taken aware of. It's something whereby we need to wake up and understand what's going on. And then, if you just watch the news, what is the news anyway? CNN, constant negative news. The good things that happen in this world do not get put on network television. They do not. It's designed to get your mind on a negative route, on a negative path, for you to think death, destruction, accident, something bad is going to happen to you, to put fear into your heart, where God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That is what it is designed to do. And when I first started working off the colony a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I was driving to work every morning, and I was watching the oncoming traffic. And I was aware every day that the stairs, the people that were driving there in that particular town, they had an empty stare on their face. It was just like they were zombies, you know. You go to work in the morning, you do what you do. You do whatever your vocation you have. You go home at night. You sit in front of that thing for 3 hours. You go to sleep. You go to work in the morning. And it's like you become a zombie. The Americans pride themselves on being a free country. They pride themselves on being a free country. One nation under God and all that. But there's more bondage in this country than in many others because of these things, because of giving yourself over to the bondage of visual entertainment. Oh, the futility and emptiness produced by hours and hours wasted in front of glowing images. And I'm not even going to get into the part of where God, what God says in the Old Testament about images. I can't even touch that. Study it out for yourself. Read some of those passages in Deuteronomy. It's amazing. Glowing images. I pray that God would open our eyes as to see how short this life really is. Now at 16 or at 17, it might not register like it should. But let me assure you that soon you will open your eyes and you will be married with children. And then you will open your eyes again and you'll have grandchildren. And then you will open your eyes again and you will be in eternity. That's just how fast life is. Do not waste it. Do not squander the time that God has given you. Do not squander that time that God has given you by giving yourself over to the visual entertainments of this world. At the very least, and I painted a picture of destruction this morning, the destructive influence of visual entertainment, at the very least, it's a colossal waste of time. At the very least. We are commanded by the Bible, by God, by the Holy Spirit to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now if we lay our hand to something that is evil and time wasting, what example are we to this world? You know, as the song says, let me read this first. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you have an awesome responsibility. I hope this week something sinks down upon your heart about your responsibility. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You are not your own, young person, young lady, young man. You are not your own. If you are in Christ, you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. What did it cost Him to shed His blood for you? Have you felt His blood cleansing you this week? Have you felt His blood cleansing you, saving you this week? Have you felt that? Hallelujah. What price did He have to pay for that blood? You are bought with that price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He created you. He redeemed you. He owns you. He can tell you what your eyes can look at. He can tell you what your ears can hear. He can tell you what your body should wear. He can tell you those things because He owns you. He redeemed you. As the song says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun? When I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history. Can you picture yourself this morning? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Picture with me yourself standing before the judgment seat of Christ as I read these words. Picture yourselves standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. When I see Thee as Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart. Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Here on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. May God open our eyes. May God open our eyes. I want to once again remind you, leave you with a word. The word is transient. I want to leave you with that word this morning. The word is transient. A transient person is someone who's passing through a place, one without a settled habitation. And that's what we are. We're strangers and pilgrims. We are moving through this place at an incredible rate of speed. It is a passing of short duration, momentary. How long is your life, really? How long is your life? Is it not just a puff of smoke, a vapor, James says? Tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, in one of your tomorrows, you'll wake up and you will be in eternity. And then, before the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that all of us will have things that we can cry about, that we'll wail about. The blessings that we missed, the joy that we forfeited, the glory that we didn't walk in. Because at some point in our life, we gave ourselves over, and to some extent, to the rudiments, to the beggarly elements of this world, and not to Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I ask, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit upon this place. That you would, by your Holy Spirit, convict us, Lord. If we've given ourselves over to the entertainment of this world, Lord, I ask that you would point it out in our lives as sin. That you would point it out, Father, as wrong. That you would point it out, Father, as entering into something that is an abomination to you. Living Spirit of the living God, I ask you to convict these young people that are here. In my own heart, Lord. Show us, Lord. Teach us what it means to be holy. Show us, Father, what it means to walk in practical holiness. I commit each one of these young people into thy hands, Lord. Use them, Father. Do a work in their heart this week. In Jesus' name, we commit this unto you. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. If you've been convicted, maybe you feel like you should maybe skip lunch and go to the prayer rooms. Maybe some of you feel that the Holy Spirit of God is striving with you. Is it an area of sin in your life? Is it salvation? Whatever it may be. Please feel free to do that. Please feel free to pull someone aside and say, can we go pray? Can we go seek the Lord? Amen. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.